This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Well, like the return of a best friend, BYU football is back.
Block, and the Cougars have the football, and they're taking off with it. What a grab by Carson Ryan. Will the thrill Farron. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bear Bachmeyer.
Hello, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah, for our Week 2 edition of the Coordinator's Corner. It's our weekly BYU football sit-down with the Cougs coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at BYU's season-opening 69-0 home win over the Portland State Vikings. It was BYU's sixth consecutive season-opening win and set a school record for largest margin of victory in a shutout. Joining me today are BYU's defensive and offensive coordinators, and we kick off today's broadcast with the Cougs DC, safeties coach and associate head coach, Jay Hill. Coach, welcome back.
So good to be with you.
Well, that was awesome. What a great start to another season, and to do it at home, too. And let's start with this. Almost 65,000 fans in the building. It's the largest BYU crowd in 16 years.
Well, I was so impressed with how early they got there, how loud they were throughout the game. Even late in the game, in the fourth quarter, as coaches, we're up in the box. We were up 60 points, and you look down and hardly anybody had left. So a huge shout out to the crowd. They were unbelievable. To the Rock, I mean, they show up every game. They were in their seats early, cheering on the players and the coaches. Just the student section's amazing. The fans are amazing. We can't thank you guys enough for being there.
It is tough to find a better environment in college football, especially when it turns into a night game as it did. There's something really special happening in Provo, Utah when it comes to BYU football in that venue.
Oh, yeah. When the sun's setting and you can just feel college football in the atmosphere, it was amazing. And like I said, you can see it there. The fans were awesome.
It truly was outstanding. Well, you came into the game with almost a full deck on defense. Among the big names, you were down Justin Kirkland and Jonathan Cabea to name two to open the season.
Yeah, but you know, we had the big majority of our guys out there. Yeah. The stars shined. I thought they played very well. I was happy to see, obviously, Jack had the huge scoop and score off the block, but we had so many guys step up and play well and handle the game the way we were supposed to do it, and super impressed with how they just went about their work this week.
Portland State played three quarterbacks in their opener. Then they started a fourth quarterback who didn't play in week zero, and that was C.J. Jordan. He'd played previously at Idaho and Northern Illinois.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I was sitting up in the box before the game started, and I'm looking down at my sheet, and I'm like, wait, who's number seven? So I thought maybe they had switched jersey numbers or something. But so I'm up trying to Google search who this number seven guy is, because he wasn't on anything that we had seen so far. And that sometimes can be difficult, but we adjusted, and you hope you know what the scheme and everything is that they're going to use that guy in that fashion, and we handled it well.
And they also used their more running quarterback, Tyree Smith, for a few snaps as well. We found out before the game, too, that Portland State would be without their top running back, DeLon Thompson. He's a good player in the Big Sky.
He is a very good player. And, you know, that hurt them a lot, not having the running back there. But, I mean, that's football.
What did you expect to see then from the Vikings, who are coached by a guy you faced a time or two?
Well, toughness. They were going to try to establish the run, which they did. Try to get you with some play action shots here and there. And, you know, they really stayed true to form and what they do. And we did a good job of scouting them and being ready for it.
Here's Coach Bruce Barnum. Portland State had one chunk play in each of its first two possessions, but those were the only big plays they had all night. A couple of quick hits early, and then that was it.
Yeah, they had one early run play where we needed to scrape a little bit better off the edge. And then one, quite frankly, where I could have put them in a better situation. Other than that, they didn't get much. And I was happy with the way the players responded, because there's always jitters in the first game. And we made some mistakes early, but it didn't really cost us.
Yeah, it was an 18-yard rush on the second play of the game. And then it was a 20-yard completion on that third and 15 on their second drive. But in terms of chunk plays, literally, they had two. BYU had 20.
Yeah. And I thought we responded great. You made a comment earlier, after their first two drives, I think they had very few yards after that. And we responded well, got the jitters out, and thought we played outstanding after that.
So at the end of Portland State's second possession, where they got the chunk of their yards, they punt and BYU fumbles the return. So It was actually a short field for the defense early in the game. Great work by the D to back the Vikings up. The big play was, the 9-yard sack by Chay Bryant Strother on that 2nd and 7.
Yeah, that was huge. Chay did a really good job. He's in what we call a spy, and he came burning around off the edge as the quarterback escaped and got an early sack, knocked him out of field goal range. Right here, you see him just trigger the way he's supposed to. He looked really fast right there. And, for the most part, I thought the defense looked outstanding as far as speed goes.
So that play there created a 3rd down and 16 that turned into a 4th and 12, and they attempted a 56-yard field goal. And BYU blocked it. Jack Kelly, as you talked about, with the scoop and score, and BYU was finally on the board there.
You know, this was something interesting, is right when we started our preparation coming out of fall camp, we had shown a couple clips of this kicker kicking the ball low and told them that we got a really good chance of blocking one this game, and if we do, we got to be ready to scoop and score. And sure enough, it happened on our first points of the game.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes it's kind of cliche, but with longer field goal tries, you'll sometimes expect a low trajectory. That's exactly what you got, smacked into a Cougar, and there goes Jack. That's his first touchdown, by the way, in college football.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Super happy for him. I mean, you could see his speed right here.
I'll say.
I love the blocking down the field. You see Evan Johnson really sprinting to get a block right there, and Faletau got one early. Glasker, as he did last year, leading the way on these returns. So the effort was outstanding here.
Yeah, it was a great convoy down the field. And it felt like that touchdown kind of settled everyone in. The next three possessions for Portland State, they were all 3 and outs. And the offense scored touchdown, touchdown, touchdown after every punt.
Yeah, like I say, I think that's pretty standard that there's a little bit of jitters going into the first game. And once we settled down, I thought everybody on all three phases really played well.
We used the phrase complimentary football, and we really saw an example of it for 60 minutes, I think, on Saturday night.
We did. The offense was outstanding. They ran the ball so well. Special teams played very solid, and we made the huge play on the block field goal. But I just think as a whole, it was a very, very clean game for game one.
And when you score on defense or special teams, likely good things are going to happen. Check this out real quick here. In the Kalani era, 17-4 now is the win-loss record when you get a defensive or special teams touchdown. When you're scoring in that other way, it's going to be a good night.
We should just do that every game.
Just do it. Just keep on doing it. How nice was it, by the way, to see the offense really clicking with a true freshman in Bear Bachmeyer getting his first career start?
Well, I think all the coaches have mentioned that he is mature well beyond his years. He came in and just handled the offense so well right from the get-go. He's smart with the football. He got a lot of looks in this game, and I thought he responded very well. And the offense ran the ball so well that that's just a huge key to the offensive success.
Having worked against this offense for, you know, a good month before the season began, did you see what you thought you would see on Saturday night from the offense?
Oh, yeah. This offense is very well coached. Our offensive staff is very intelligent, but they're creative. And they find ways to get mismatches with personnel or leverage angles and stuff like that. They just do a really good job of putting the defense in a bind.
Let's get back into the first half for a second. It was already 28-0 when the Vikes fumbled at their own 20-yard line. John Talmoipeau, who blocked the field goal, as it turned out, recovers the fumble way back at the 5 or 6-yard line. JT had a really nice all-around game, too.
Oh, he had a great game. And that's what we needed coming from that D-tackle spot. We pretty much knew what we were going to get with Keanu. And we saw so many great flashes out of JT coming into this game, but he played outstanding. Just can't say enough about him and his preparation.
Okay, so the fumble recovery set up a nice short field and a score. 2 more 3-and-outs on defense, 2 more touchdowns on offense, and now you're cruising 49-0 at halftime. You allowed only 44 yards in the first 30 minutes. Hard to be more pleased with a half of football. Open the season.
Well, yeah, I was super happy once we settled down on how we responded. Happy that we didn't give anything deep up down the field. The secondary was very good. I thought we were very stout against the run. And that's traditionally a very good running team. Bruce Barnum knows O-line play. They're usually pretty good at picking up blitzes and things like that. So to be that stout in the first half, I was happy with just the results.
Okay, coming up, we'll finish out our look back at Saturday's opener and get some standouts on defense from Coach Hill as well. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll break down the film and BYU's win over Portland State and look ahead to Saturday's Week 2 showdown with Stanford. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app. or ESPN+. When we return, more with defensive coordinator Jay Hill as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys and Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. BYU off to a 1-0 start for the sixth straight season after Saturday's 69-0 home win over Portland State. Coming up next, this Saturday's home game with 0-1 Stanford. When we left off, BYU was leading Portland State 49-0 at halftime. So with the game in hand, you want to play a lot of your guys, but you also want to stay sharp, play well with those guys.
So Kalani, myself, and Coach Roderick, we challenged all of our guys at halftime that's exactly what we wanted to do. Get a bunch of guys in the game in the second half, but we wanted to keep the cleanliness going because it was a very clean first half. And we challenged them hard at halftime to finish the game the right way and to keep it clean, and I thought they responded very well.
Defense actually spent more time than the offense on the field in the first half. After halftime, the O put together some really long possessions, just grinded the game out as you expect them to. You had to defend only 12 plays in the second half. Now, I don't know that I've seen a number that low before for half of football. 12 snaps, and you allowed 7 yards and 0.6 yards per play after halftime. 12 plays.
Well, you got to give a lot of credit to the offense. They
Yes.
did a phenomenal job running the ball. They did a phenomenal job managing the clock in a game like that. You really want to just get out of there at that point. And they did an outstanding job with it. And then our defense did a good job of getting a bunch of three and outs to where the offense was right back on the field kind of grinding them. And that we handled business and did what we were supposed to do.
You had time to go out, go to Swig, come back, and still have your guys not back on the field yet.
Well, there was one time it was like a 9-minute drive, and they just pounded it the way you're supposed to. And then at the end of the game, I remember saying, you guys got 42 yards. I wonder if you guys can make a 9-minute 42-yard drive, and they almost did it. So it was crazy.
You had the shutout at halftime, and we've seen in the past where – you know, starters go out defensively, offense keeps starters in, and maybe the shutout goes away. But there was no letdown. Really nice to put up a zero for 16. It's hard to do in college football.
Well, zero letdown, and we weren't just playing with our twos. We had a bunch of threes and fours in there at the end of the game. And, again, we challenged them hard that whoever got in the game, go in there, play clean, do what you're supposed to do, and keep the physicality and the intensity up, and they did that. And one thing, too, I want to shout out the starters. When the backups went in, those guys were on the sideline, just geeked up, ready to go, supporting their teammates, and it really goes a long ways to say what Coach Kalani's created with his culture.
Yeah, chemistry and love for your brother, the whole thing, it all showed up.
It showed.
You mentioned cleanliness. Only one defensive penalty on the night. It was a targeting call on Ephraim Asiata, and it came way back in the first half. We may see this, so because it was a first half play, misses the second half, nothing affecting him for this week, correct?
Yeah, he'll be back ready to go. He's got to be a little smarter with just how that occurred. Anytime you go up towards the head or neck area, you got to be worried about this, and he did. He's got to go a little bit lower on that hit. We love Ephraim's intensity and physicality. He's just got to be a little lower on this hit.
What kind of season can we expect from 44, do you think?
Well, I think he's going to be a key part to what we're doing. He can rush the passer. He's super physical for his size. He runs around well, and he's a playmaker, and we need that in our defense.
BYU offensively called only 7 pass plays after halftime, ran it 29 times, ran all over the Vikes, and you get 69-0 as a result. 51 total yards allowed for the game by BYU, second fewest all time, and the only lower number came 61 years ago. It's a long time.
Well, again, the success of that game, I think, hinges on so much. I'm proud of the assistant coaches for getting their position groups ready to go. They did a great job with this. But it rests on the players knowing the importance of every one of the 12 games. You only get 12. You got to take advantage of every one. I thought our players did that, and the stats reflect that.
Okay, you said position groups a second ago. How do you think your position group, the safeties, played against Portland State?
They were very clean. I thought they tackled well for the most part. Assignment-wise, I thought they were very good. There wasn't a lot of big plays made from the safety group, but there wasn't a lot of opportunities, so I thought we did what we were supposed to do.
We hit on this a bit last week, but how comfortable are you coming into the year with most of that room back from last year, having another year with you?
Well, I thought the four guys that played the majority of the reps in this game played very well. That's Tanner Wall, Faletau Satawala, Raider DeMooney, and Talon Alfrey. I thought those guys all played very good. We even got some of the other guys in. Matthias Leach got to play. Peyton Van Stinkas got to play. So, you know, we're getting guys reps, which is critical for future. And if they continue to play clean, there's four or five guys that we can win with. So that's good.
Well, how do you see Tommy Prassas, his role within this defense this year?
Well, he was going to have a huge role at safety, but with Cabea down for a couple weeks, he's needed to move to nickel, and I think he's handled that transition very well. He gives us a great hybrid because he's good in coverage, mm-hmm. but he's also physical, like a safety in there. So there's so many things that he does give us with his versatility.
Let's get to players of the game now. We'll start on defense. We hit on him earlier, talked about his blocked field goal, his fumble recovery, and the inside mate of Keanu Tanevasa inside. We're talking about John Talmoipeau, JT.
Well, John played so good, and I'm so proud of him. He came here. It took him a while to really play a lot in a game, and when he first got his first substantial reps in the game, he just stood out and played outstanding. Right from the first play of the game, he gets a TFL, and then obviously this huge one here. So I'm super happy for him.
And the inside of your defensive line just gets stouter when Justin Kirkland joins the mix and joins Keanu and JT in there.
Oh, yeah. And Anisi Purcell played well.
Played well as well.
So I think that group's progressing exactly the way we want. Coach Puha and Coach Anderson have done a great job with those guys. And then Bodie Schoonover and Bill Puha, they played inside as well. Those guys played very well. The future's bright. We got to continue to get those guys coming along the way we want them. But, man, they're getting better.
Coach Papinga is on the show next week, but he gave us his special teams players of the game for this past Saturday, and they are Will Farron and the field goal unit.
Well, how about Will Farron tying an all-time record for the distance? He continues to be just automatic, which is huge for a kicker. I think everybody in the stands, fans and coaches, just believe when he goes out there, he's going to do what he's supposed to do and put the ball in the uprights. What a weapon that is.
56-yarder for Will Farron. His consecutive field goal streak continues. His consecutive PAT streak continues. He's up to 80 in a row and counting, only six away from the BYU record there. Great night for Farron and the kicking units. All right, when we return, we turn the page from FCS to FBS with a visitor from the ACC coming to town this Saturday. Tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio starting at 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain Time as the Cougars clash with the Cardinal of Stanford. As we go to break, a reminder, dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's, quality and a lot of it, in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, our final segment for this week with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. You're in the coordinator's corner. It is brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys.
This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
All right, final segment of the week with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. Coach Hill and the Cougs picking up a season opening 69-0 home win over Portland State on Saturday night. BYU this week looks to go 6-0 for a sixth straight year with the Stanford Cardinal in town. This preview of the Stanford game is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. The Cardinal had the week off this past week. They played in week zero, bye in week one, so they're back and active in week two. They lost 23-20 at Hawaii in their opener on August 23rd. What do they show you offensively?
Well, they run a pro-style offense. The coaches have been around. I mean, Frank Wright has been a longtime player and coach, and he knows what he's doing. He's got very sound offensive scheme. They do a good job of trying to pound you in the run game, and then you got to be ready for their play action shots. They got a strong arm quarterback that can throw the ball, and we got to be ready to get into a dogfight with him up front.
Quarterback's Ben Gulbranson. He went 15 for 30 for a 109 and a pick in this game. The running back, the big running back, is Micah Ford. He went 26 for a 113 and a score. This surprised me, Coach. It had been 20 games that Stanford did not have a running back touchdown, and they a rushing touchdown from a running back, and that came against Hawaii.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that was the philosophy of the old offensive staff, that when they got down there close to the goal line, they were going to run the quarterback to get him in the end zone. I think you'll see now that they're going to feed the ball to number 20. He's going to get a lot of yards and a lot of carries, and that's kind of the future of their run game right now.
Yeah, so BYU ran it 48 times against Portland State. Stanford ran it 43 times against Hawaii. They outpossessed the Warriors by 12 minutes. They had the ball 36 minutes that night, Stanford did.
Well, they did. They did a great job of possessing the ball. They maintained drives. A lot of them stalled, but they did a good job of moving the ball early on. They ran like almost 80 plays in the game. So there's a lot of things they did well in that game. They just came up short.
So you did what you wanted to do and needed to do against Portland State in the opener, of course. Not only do you go FCS to FBS, you go to P4 right now. Mm-hmm. Step up in competition considerably this week.
Oh, yeah, and this is what we need. We need a physical game like this. They're going to come in. They'll have a big old line. They got big backs. They got good tight ends. This is exactly what we need to see what we're all about. I want to see our guys get in a dogfight, a physical one, and see how we respond week two coming off such a successful week one.
Relatively healthy coming out of the first game. I mean, guys get banged up. That's natural. But nothing terrible out of week one?
No, we're mostly ready to go again. Some nicks and dings, but that's going to be every week.
A couple of closing thoughts here. It's another night game for BYU. All right, BYU, 29-4 now in the last 33 night games and a 16-3 in the last 19 night home games. There's something special about this team in these late night games. Some of it's coincidental, but there's a really good vibe in the building, and I think guys can feed off it.
Well, I know we can, and we love the crowd. The crowd just seems so electric at night here in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Kalani's done such a good job. Just our culture, the character, everything that's going on right now, night, day, our guys have been ready to play. I'm super excited to get in there for another night game.
I know you're laser focused on your guys and the next week's opponent, but around the Big 12 this past weekend, it was a big game for a lot of teams, a lot of blowouts, a lot of powerful performances. The league looks good early. Any thoughts on the Big 12? Again, you're a few weeks away from league play, but do you take note of that?
Well, we do for sure. We want the Big 12 teams to be successful. We cheer for those guys when they're not playing, you know, us, obviously. We want them to be good. I thought the win that Utah had against UCLA was a great one. We want that stuff for the conference. We need recognition on a national level. We need to win these crossover games, and we need to look good doing it.
Last thing for you. You became a booth coordinator last year, and you started this season as a booth coordinator. You're up top. Are you there to stay?
Well, I don't know. I think it's so boring. I say that, and people say, what are you talking about? Could you get to coach football? And that's true, but the it's quiet in the box, and I think I'm good up there, but I think it's boring. So I'm going to stay there for now because we're having so much success doing it, but it is boring.
I think you missed the din of the sideline there.
I do. I miss the atmosphere. I miss the crowd going crazy. I miss the on the road, the trash talk from the fans. Just all that's part of the game that makes it so special for the coaches. I miss some of that, but I do think the way we have it set, we've been very successful, and it's hard to break that.
Well, up top or down low, I'm glad you're in charge. Coach, great to have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right. Tomorrow night, you can join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the coach and scheduled guest Keanu Tanuvasa. Look back on Saturday's season opening win and ahead to game two. Watch Tuesday nights, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. That'll do it for Coach Hill. Coming up next, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins us as the Coordinator's Corner continues. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Stay with us.
Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, Smith's, Low Prices, Market Fresh, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. The BYU Cougars 1-0 for a sixth straight year. The Cougs under Kalani Sitake, 9-1 in lid lifters after Saturday night's 69-0 home win over Portland State. Second highest point total in a season opener ever and the most yards gained in a season opener in some 23 years. We talked defense in the first half of the show. We switched to the offensive side of the ball in our second half hour as we say hello once again to OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Coach, welcome back.
Good to be here.
You told us last week right here that you try not to set expectations in these FCS games for things like score or playing time. But what did you feel confident about being able to do against Portland State?
Well, we knew we had a physical advantage, so the game plan was to run the ball and really get off to a good start. You know, we wanted to get off to our season off to a good start running the football, because it just makes everything so much easier when you can run it.
You said here last week, too, you thought by the end of the year you're running it pretty well. You wanted to be a better running team early.
Correct. Yeah, last year it took us a few games to get it going and kind of figure out who we were, figure out an identity. I think we have a better idea this year what our identity is going to be. And offensively, you know, just everything opens up when you can run the football. The play action pass is all there. You know, the special plays are all there. If you're not running it, then those things, they don't exist. And so we wanted to establish the run.
It was, of course, the first career start for the true freshman, Bear Bachmeier. What were you going in kind of really purposeful about when it came to crafting a game plan that he could execute? I know that he knows the book, right? Yeah. But what did you kind of want to make sure you had for him?
A few things. One was we wanted to get him a completion on the first play, just simple completion, just see the ball land in somebody's hands and run with it. And so we got a few yards just on a little screen to Parker, but mm-hmm. That was intentional. And then we wanted to get the run game going so that we could take some, you know, take some shots down the field, get our play action going. You know, all three of his touchdown passes were play action pass and different versions of it, but the run game is what makes those play actions work.
By the way, I think the first play of the 22, 23, and 24 seasons were runs. This one was a pass, but that was for Bear.
Yeah,
to make sure he got one. Yeah. All right. The only offensive possession you didn't score on in the entire game was the first one of the game, as it turned out. You didn't get a crack at a second drive because of a punt return fumble. You didn't get a possession because Jack Kelly returns a field goal block. So weirdly, possessions were 4-1 for Portland State with 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was a weird first quarter. I think we had 5 plays until the last 2 minutes of the quarter. We'd only had the ball for 5 plays. You want to score every possession, but we didn't on the first drive. It's okay. You know, that's football. And I think one of the things we talked about when you play an FCS team is just managing your own expectations. It's not going to be 50-0 at the end of the first quarter. You just have to play one snap at a time, play clean ball. And we knew that at the end of the night, the score would be something we could be proud of.
First offensive touchdown comes after a 56-yard drive to end the first quarter. The big play in the drive was a 49-yard run from L.J. Martin that got a lot of the team involved by the end of it. That was a fun one.
Yeah, that was a fun one, yeah. It was well blocked, first of all, and then L.J. breaks tackles. And
here it is.
Really well blocked play, and then he's hard to take down, man. And we've got guys blocking for him downfield.
Shoving Chase out of the way, I think.
Bear's leading the way down there, trying to find a block. I mean, it was a good performance by a lot of guys in the run game.
Yeah, and by the end of that, it was just a mosh pit of guys down around the 5-yard line. Yeah. That was fun. I mean, he could not be brought. He was dragging guys by the end of it.
He's a tough runner.
All right, 3 plays later, 3rd and goal, first touchdown of the season for the offense, and the 15th in the career, 13th in the career for Chase Roberts. First touchdown pass as a Cougar for Bear Bachmeier. Short little pass to the right.
Yeah, and again, it's actually a play action. It's an RPO. It looks like play action, and we're blocking. We're picking the receiver there, but it's legal because we're catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So just nice little play that our receivers have executed well for us the last few years.
And you always know you can count on him around that part of the field.
And great job by JoJo there to get that block.
Yep.
And just keeping the game simple.
I think it was JoJo leading for Cody on a play we're going to see a little later
JoJo
as well.
JoJo plays hard, man. And, you know, he didn't show up in this game because we didn't really need to throw it. But you're going to see a lot of that guy this year. And he flies around. He has a great motor.
After the Chase TD, you would score 7 more touchdowns. And the unique thing here is every one of them was scored by guys who'd never scored a touchdown in a BYU uniform before.
Yeah, it was fun to see guys, their hard work get rewarded and just see a lot of different people get in the end zone and have success.
Okay, you had a 35-point second quarter. Those are rare. 5 drives, 5 touchdowns, 0 offensive penalties. That's about as clean a quarter as you can play.
Yeah, that was the goal. The whole week we talked about play a clean game. And so we had 0 turnovers. We had 3 penalties, a holding penalty, a hands to the face. You know, those are playing hard penalties. You know, they weren't egregious. And then we had 1 delay of game, which we want to avoid those, what we call administrative penalties. Mm-hmm. But the whole night we had, legal formations. Our substitutions were good. You know, some of the things that you sort of are easy to take for granted. I thought the guys did very well. And
first games can get a little.
College football, man. Most first games, there's a lot of that stuff. And we had 1 ball on the ground. I think Bear, that's 1 too many. But it was a good clean game.
Let's hit a few key plays from that big second quarter. Starting with Sione Moa, he's the thunder to LJ's lightning in a lot of ways. He had a 19-yard run on your first touchdown drive in that quarter, and then two plays later, it's a 5-yard touchdown toss from Bear to tight end Noah Moiaki. Those are the two big plays in the drive there.
Yeah, Sione Moa is a very good player in his own right, and you saw those two on the field together a lot the other night. They'll be on the field a lot together all season. And Sione is just an outstanding all-around player. He's a very good receiver. He's a very good blocker. And he's obviously a good running back.
And he can lay the lumber a bit too.
He has a low center of gravity, and you know, you're gonna feel it when you tackle him for sure.
And then tight end gets into the end zone. Well, that's later, but
two tight end touchdowns. One to Moiaki, and then one to Carson Ryan.
Yeah. All right. So we're a little ahead of the game here. We're going to say it's 21-0 Cougs. It was a 3-and-out for Portland State. The next drive for BYU was a quick one, though. 4 plays, 84 yards, less than 2 minutes off the clock. The scoring play here that we want to see is the 57-yarder with the speedy Cody Hagan.
Yeah, we had that reverse dialed up through camp. We've tried it on our defense a couple times, and it worked both times we did it. Did it one day against the second team defense, and then tried it another day against the first team defense. And we thought, okay, if it works against our defense, we can pull it out in a real game. It's ready. And so,
By the way, he did a nice job getting out of the way of Carson Ryan there.
He did.
A little midair stutter there.
He has good speed, and the play design was really good. A lot of our coaches were involved in that play design, and we keeps people honest when you do this.
I'll say he's got some wheels, doesn't he, Cody?
Yes, he does.
28-0 BYU goes to 35-0 after a short Bear Bachmeyer touchdown run, and that followed a fumble recovery down deep. It's 42-0 after the longest drive of the night. It was 91 yards, and this one featured another LJ Martin big run. This was a 44-yard run from LJ early in that drive.
Yeah, it was nice to take a long drive like that and score. Like I said, LJ had a great game. And then I thought, you know, there was just a lot of good plays in that drive.
He just shed tacklers.
He is very hard to tackle. Yes, he's a good player.
I mean, how many guys had a crack at him? We got a stiff arm coming up here. And what a great run. And then, by the way, two runs of 44 yards or more for LJ on the night. His long run all of last year was 39.
Yeah, one thing that really is showing up for us in practice, and I think you're gonna see it in games this year, is LJ's speed. He's really worked on it. He's trimmed up a little bit, and he's one of our faster players on offense now. I thought a couple years ago as a freshman, he was a good physical runner. Then last year he got better, and then this year he's really changed his body. He's worked on his speed, and you're going to see more big runs like that as the year goes on.
So Mitch Juergens is in the booth with us after the game. We're doing our post-game show, and he's like, how is it a guy is able to get, like, trimmer and yet, faster but stronger, too? Like, there's a weird combination.
Yeah, it's a credit to our strength and conditioning staff. You know, those guys are awesome. That's the best group of guys I've ever been around, and they've helped LJ and a lot of our guys, you know, just keep getting better all the time.
Okay, that was the drive that ends with the second touchdown reception for a BYU tight end of the night. That was in the second quarter. It goes to Carson Ryan. He made two catches on the drive and makes a great grab for the score. We're going to see that Carson Ryan touchdown pass. That was a really, really skilled play at the goal line.
Yeah, we treated that drive like a two-minute drive. We wanted to, you know, even though we had a pretty good lead, we wanted to get Bear one good two-minute drive in a real game, you know. And so we worked the two-minute drill. Once we got down in the red zone, we were able to huddle up and call a play-action pass that we had specifically designed for this defense in the red zone. And Carson made a great catch. I thought it was a good throw, but an even better catch.
Yeah. And then you got to run, well, I guess the two-minute offense again to end the half. This went 4 plays, 58 yards. Bear runs for 23 yards on 2 plays in this drive, and his final 12 put him in the end zone.
Yeah, that was the two-minute work was important. You know, that those two-minute drives are going to happen later in the season. And we won some games last year in 2 minute, and lost two games. The two losses we had were we weren't able to finish the game in 2 minute, but we had some huge wins in 2 minute. So we need to be a great two-minute team, and we took a couple opportunities the other night to work that in the game.
So the second touchdown run from Bear, not a designed run. He was rolling out to throw, right?
Yeah, it's a sprint out pass, but running is the is the fourth option. You know, there's a read progression there. It's 1-2-3 run. And if you break contain and you can score, we want him to go score.
And all right, and here it is.
What he did, yeah. So he's looking there. Actually, this is a two read. Sorry, I forgot this is a different concept. He's got two reads there, and it's 1-2 to run.
So third runs the third option here.
Yeah, runs the third option, and that's what he does.
And you, with the ball in his hands on the ground, you like him as a runner, clearly.
I do, yeah. He's a physical runner, but he can also make you miss, as you
like
see.
Like he did there.
He made a lot of people miss the other night in the game. You know, we don't want to overuse him in the run game because we want to keep him healthy, but it'll be part of our offense all year.
When did you decide that Bear would be done at halftime?
At halftime, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Right after we scored there, we decided that's enough. Yeah.
Okay. At that point, you're at 49-0, and that would be the half for Bear Bachmeier. We may see Bear's numbers here, but he put up a 227.7 pass efficiency rating. Not a ton of throws, but he was really efficient in those throws. Didn't make any mistakes. Had touchdown passes. Ran for a couple. That's a pretty good 30 minutes of your college career.
Yeah, good half. The most important part was I liked all the decisions he made. We didn't complete every pass, but he was throwing the ball where we wanted to go every time, and a couple things we could do a little better, but I thought he had a really good night.
All right, 12.1 yards per play in the first half, 14.1 yards per rush, 6 touchdowns and 7 drives, no offensive penalties, a really solid half.
Yeah, it was a good half. I mean, we had that opponent overmatched, and we knew that, but you know, there's a lot of those games where you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know, and teams stumble around. So I was proud of our guys for just doing what we're supposed to do.
All right. When we come back, we'll see how BYU shut down Portland State after halftime. And we'll get Coach Roderick's offensive player of the game from Saturday as well. You can get ready for BYU and Stanford this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage. It begins 2 hours prior to kick. This week, that's 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain Time on BYU TV. The Coordinator's Corner continues right after this break. We are brought to you, as always, by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this.
Seriously nice.
Coordinator's Corner getting set for BYU's second week showdown with Stanford on Saturday. Last season, BYU followed its season opening win with a victory over an ACC opponent. That was at SMU. This year, it's the ACC again in week 2 and the Cardinal in town. Visiting with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. Before the break, we had BYU leading Portland State 49-0 at halftime. And that was basically it for the BYU starters against the Vikings.
Yeah, and halftime we talked to all of our backup guys about playing another clean half, and we said, you know, let's challenge our guys to go out there and have no drop off, you know, just execute the offense one play at a time. And for the most part, I thought all those guys came in and did a good job. We sometimes when you sub in the second half of a game,
yep,
you know, chaos ensues and there's penalties and guys can't get lined up and things. And we just kept on rolling along, and I was really proud of a lot of those guys. We had some good performances by some of our young players.
That speaks to really solid prep for this season for sure. First half, you had the ball for 12 minutes. Second half, you had the ball for 22 minutes. You were going to grind this game out, throw when you had to, but run while it was working. The ground game was outstanding. You had 17 chunk plays in the run game Saturday night.
Yeah, second half for sure, we wanted to run the ball. I was trying to get a few pass attempts for McKay and Trayson as well, just within the context of, you know, when we could. I didn't want to be throwing the ball deep or anything like that. I think that's bad sportsmanship to be launching deep balls when you're up that much. But tried to get those guys a few pass attempts each, and then mostly we just wanted to run the ball and execute.
A couple of plays you want to highlight from the second half, including Dominique McKenzie's first touchdown as a Cougar. It came on the first play of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Dom, as you saw on that play, is fast. He can run. And so it was great to see him have some success the other night in a real game. Needs to get that ball in his outside arm, though. We'll talk about that today. Should be in his left arm. But Dom is fast. And so getting him out in space is, that's something he can do. And we were excited for him. Everybody was really happy. He's a great kid.
Now, that capped a drive of only 13 seconds. It was two plays. But you had two really long drives in the second half. You had an 8.5-minute possession, then a 10.5-minute possession on your final drive. All 15 plays in that final drive, they were runs. And the final rush got Charlie Miska into the end zone for his first touchdown as a BYU Cougar.
Yeah, Chuck's I don't know if there's a better, more liked guy on the team. He's a great person. He's a really hard worker. He's just one of those guys that'll do anything you ask. He plays scout team. He's been through some injuries. He's nobody studies the offense more than him. I think he knows every position, what every player on the offense is doing every play. He's a great guy, and we were all excited for him.
LJ and Sione headline the running back room, but we saw Joe Vessa. We see Charlie Miska. It's a good group, isn't it?
It is. There's some good players in that room, and this week you'll probably see Preston Rex.
He's a guy that moves over from safety and has some jump at running back.
Yeah, he's getting close. Well, hopefully he gets a chance to play this week as well, and we'll get Enoch Nawahine out there pretty soon, and we're not going to rush him because he's already a proven guy, but mm-hmm. there's a good group there. Those guys are good players.
You rotated McKay Hillstead and Trayson Borgay for most of the second half. You even got Cole Hagan in late. A lot of guys got a lot of reps, and we saw those other quarterbacks continue to kind of change off series.
Yeah, we just wanted to get we just told McKay and Trayson, you'll just rotate every other series. And they both did a nice job. I thought I was very pleased with how they both played. Good decisions by both of them, and ran the offense. And there's some things you don't see out there too, where they're getting us into the right run play in certain looks, and it might not even be evident to the fans, but they're doing good things for our offense.
Back to the run game for a sec. 14 players actually had rush attempts on Saturday night. 468 yards on the ground. The most you've had is the BYU OC, and the most for BYU in 12 years in a game. It's only Portland State, but you like your team's ability to run the ball against hopefully anyone this year.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, it's where everything starts. If you can run the ball, then your whole playbook is open. If you struggle to run it, then big chunks of your playbook are out. You know, the play action, no one's going to bite on a play action pass if they're not afraid of you running. No one's going to bite on a trick play, a reverse, or something like that if you can't run it. And so the defenses you're going to see all of a sudden get a lot more complicated when you can't run the ball. And so it all starts there, and I was really, like I said, we overwhelmed that opponent, and it's going to get much tougher as we, in weeks to come, but it was a good start.
Let's stay with the ground game for your offensive player of the game from Saturday.
Yeah, LJ was our player of the game, and in our team meeting today, we're going to say LJ and the entire offensive line, but LJ he played an outstanding game. It's his I think that was his career high, correct?
It was 131 rushing yards, career high.
Did it in very few carries, and just, he is what our program is all about. He's just an awesome person, great individual, humble, and really good football player, really good student, and just does everything right. And I'll take as many guys like him as I can get.
Tyler Allgeier is BYU's last 1,000-yard running back. He could be the next one.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, we would love for that to happen. That's not a goal
we'll
put on
yeah.
the wall, but it's definitely, if he does that, that'll be a good sign for what's to come for this season.
Okay, quick note before the break. You didn't throw a ton to Carson Ryan, but he led the team with 47 yards through the air. He's a guy you plan to use a lot this year.
Yeah, and as the season develops, I think he's going to be an important part of our offense.
All right, time for a break. And as we step away, we remind you that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan weekdays at noon Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Coming up on our final segment of this week's show, a look ahead to Saturday versus Stanford with BYU OC Aaron Roderick. The Coordinator's Corner is brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU 1-0 on the season after a 69-0 home win over Portland State on Saturday night. Just under 65,000 fans in the stands. The biggest BYU crowd in 16 years at home. Visiting with BYU OC Aaron Roderick as wrap things up. Coach, heck of an opening night environment in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It's an FCS opponent. I know you're busy in the booth, but I hope you get a moment or two to maybe take it all in, the fact that this place was packed and the Rock was there super early. It was a royal blue sea. What a great vibe on Saturday night.
It's so fun to play night games in that stadium, and we appreciate our fans so much. They're there early. And Kalani commented near the end of the game that no one was leaving. The people were still there, and we really appreciate that so much. It's just we're tough to beat in that stadium, and our fans are a big part of the reason why.
And I know it gets more attention the more the numbers improve, but the nighttime games become something really special, and the win-loss record in the nighttime games, you kind of have to pay attention to, because it's pretty overwhelming at this point, whether it's home or away. You've got something figured out, generally speaking, late in the night, especially here in the Mountain Time Zone. Some of the best football gets played by you guys.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's just, it's so fun. You know, I think there's, I don't know any other way to put it. I think our players just love playing the game in that stadium at night with our fans behind them. There's nothing like it.
Okay, let's get to Stanford. Before we even get to a few particulars on them, on a Monday, let's say, what's a typical afternoon? Like, do you get with the offense? Does Kalani get with the whole team? How does it kind of break up to where you're kind of able to talk to your guys?
Yeah, we'll meet this afternoon and sort of wrap up the Portland State game, you know, final thoughts on that, talk about who played well, things we need to do better, and then we'll transition right into Stanford and we'll go out on the field today and have a little walkthrough. Today's kind of a rest day physically for the guys. They lift and then walk through a few introductory thoughts on Stanford.
If there's going to be a message for the offensive group as a whole from last week to this, what might it centralize on?
Well, just that it's going to be a much bigger challenge this week. I mean, Stanford is a big physical team, and we're not going to be able to push these guys around as easily as we did Saturday. We're going to have to execute, and we're going to have to be ready to play. I've coached against Stanford for a long time, and they are tough, smart guys, and they'll be prepared, and it's going to be a much bigger challenge.
You last saw them to end the 2022 regular season at their place.
Yeah, David Shaw's last game, and I don't think that game was indicative of what this one's going to be like. You know, that was kind of a end of the season. They were, you know, I don't even want to comment about it. Some things weren't going great there, but I think what we're going to see Saturday is them at their best. I think we're going to get their very best shot.
Okay, a couple of quick hits on the Cardinal. They lose 23-20 at Hawaii on August 23rd. They had the lead until the final 2 minutes. Two field goals, including a game winner at the end, ends up costing Stanford the chance at a victory there.
Yeah, as BYU fans should know better than anyone, playing at Hawaii is something wild. This is going to happen when you play over there. It's always a tough place to play. It's a tough trip. And so I wasn't super surprised at the outcome. I think Hawaii has a good team. We know a few of their coaches, and I think they're going to surprise some people this year. I think they're better than people think. And it's going to be fun.
Stanford defense held UH to only 306 yards, 3 for 10 on third downs. There was a strip sack touchdown. There were 5 TFLs and 4 sacks. They can do some things defensively.
They can, and I think that's an advantage. They have an advantage in this game defensively. We only have one game film on them, and it's against a run-and-shoot team. You know, and Hawaii's out there with 4 receivers on the field running the run-and-shoot, which is very different than what we do on offense. And so that game film is it's not great for us to know what they're going to do against us. So there's an advantage there. So we're going to have to just run our offense and execute the things we've been doing in camp, and then we'll make some adjustments in the game when we find out what they're doing.
Well, good luck this week in getting to 2-0 for a 6th straight season in the Kalani era. Coach, thanks. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, that is Aaron Roderick, and that will do it for Week 2 of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick and our entire crew, my name is Greg Wrubell, saying we'll see you next week, Monday at noon Eastern time, on BYU TV app and ESPN+. Till then, go Cougs!